We start a Christmas series this morning, and I tell you what, I'm super excited. I love Christmas. I love the songs. I love everything about it. I'm not a big fan of receiving gifts. It makes me feel uncomfortable, but I love giving gifts. And so this is a great, I hope you're excited. I hope that you just get some sort of a new energy as a result of the Christmas season this year. I decided about a few weeks ago as I was reading in Luke, just kind of updating myself and just meditating on the incarnate Christ, God becoming flesh, and reading through Luke, and God just led me right to Mary's song. And so the title of this series is actually from Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 55. For the next 3 weeks, we're going to be walking through this song that Mary sang. And so the title of these series is A Song of Praise. But before I do that, do you love to sing? I like to sing. This morning, Jake played a joke on Matt. They have these little mics in their ears that they can hear through a microphone back there. And Jake's like, why don't you sing in that microphone as they're singing? And Matt was like, you could see his face changing, like there's something weird coming out of this microphone as I'm singing. And I love to sing, but I cannot sing. That's why I sit in front. So my voice just goes forward, not backwards. Depending on the music you listen to, I imagine it brings any number of emotions to your heart. You start playing a Hallmark music or an AT&T commercial. And because I'm getting older, you might see tears in my eyes. If they play a song, have you ever seen the movie Hachi? It is my goal in life that everyone in this audience watches the movie Hachi. Kids, right? It's about a dog who dies. It's not Old Yeller. It's worse. And they play this song when Hachi's owner dies, and I'm telling you, I was weeping like a baby. And so were my kids. You have to watch that movie. How about Rudy? When he gets that sack at the end and the music's playing, I mean, I felt like I was sacking that guy. They carry him off the field, music is lifted, and I'm weeping. And I can't stand Notre Dame. All right, ladies, Steel Magnolias, Julia Roberts, the music's playing, she's about ready to die. Okay, guys, you know you've seen it too, right? Your wives made you watch it, and then that one day when they caught you watching it on Lifetime television when you got home. Music can get you pumped up. You play Eye of the Tiger, and I tell you what, things are going down. When I watched Rocky and Eye of the Tiger came on, I thought I could box anybody. And I have two older brothers who taught me that a song can't do anything to them. You have a song like that, don't you? A song that gets you excited, maybe sparks some sort of emotion in your life. I'm guessing God was a music lover. Why? Well, if you look at scriptures, if you're familiar at all with God's word, you see songs throughout his scriptures. They're a huge part of God's word. Why? I'm not sure, but one guess I have is that songs are easy to memorize. Me and my wife, every once in a while, we'd be watching a TV show, and they come up with the 70s and the 80s music. So you've seen those CDs they're trying to sell? Instantly, I know every one of those songs. Whether it was Driving on the Gravel Roads and Partying All Night Long, I knew every 70s and 80s song. They were easy to memorize. Unless you're gifted like Tim O'Toole and preaching and reciting all of Romans, or at least Romans 1 through 11, I'm guessing you need ways in which you can memorize things. And so that's why God has given us songs, to keep them on your hearts. If you read the Psalms, there are over 150 of them. Not all of them are songs, some of them are prayers, but the majority of the Psalms are songs, meant for the Israelites to sing, to remember what God has done for them, to remember the deliverance. And many of those songs are to remember or to remind them that God would send His Messiah, His Son, who would save this world. During the Christmas season, during this Christmas season, I want you to think about your song. What song do you have written on your heart about Jesus? Does your heart sing when you think of Jesus? Mary's did. Jesus wasn't even born, and Mary is singing about her Savior. Let's turn to Luke chapter 1. If you follow along with me, if you have your bulletins, if you have a Bible, go to the Luke's Gospel in chapter 1, starting in verse 46. This is Mary's song of praise. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior. For He has looked on my humble estate of His servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed. For He who is mighty has done great things for me. And holy is His name. And His mercy is for those who fear Him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with His arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones, and He has exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich He has sent away empty. He has helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy. As He spoke to His fathers, to Abraham, and to His offspring forever. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You. Thank You for this song. This song that You wrote on Mary's heart. My prayer, Lord, is that by the work of the Holy Spirit, that You would be writing songs on each of our hearts today, singing praises of the Savior Jesus. Not just at Christmas, but every day, Lord. May we sing praises to You the moment we wake up. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. My prayer is for the next 3 weeks that we might walk through this song of praise. That we might walk through Mary's song and give You an idea of how we also could be singing songs of praise. This morning, I'm just going to focus on four verses. Verses 46 through 49. What caused Mary to sing praise? First, I want to build some context here. Look at verse 45 with me. It says here, Mary had just visited Elizabeth, or she is visiting Elizabeth. Elizabeth is her cousin. It says this in Luke chapter 1, verse 36. It says that, and behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has conceived a son. And this is in the sixth month of he who is called to be born, or called barren. So we see that Elizabeth is speaking with Mary. Mary is visiting Elizabeth. In verse 45, it says, and Elizabeth says, and blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. So Elizabeth is speaking to Mary and encouraging her. Why did Mary need to be encouraged? Think back on Mary's story. She was a virgin, legally pledged, betrothed, it says, to Joseph. She was getting married. And all of a sudden, she is approached by the angel Gabriel that she was chosen by God to carry the Son, Emmanuel, Jesus. She was a young girl. Just think about it. Pregnant with the Son of God? Do you think she could tell anybody that? She would have been stoned. She could have been stoned by the fact that Joseph could have called her an adulterer. Carrying the Son of God? Are you serious? That's Mary's circumstances. We read about it in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 24. I just want to build some context. This is Joseph. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. Joseph could have had her stoned. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived is in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you should call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Listen, the context here is Mary is not in a great place. God has chosen her to carry the Son of God, and so she disappears for a while. She's been pregnant, they say, about 3 months. She's probably starting to show. There's probably a lot of fingers being pointed at Mary. Look at her. Pregnant, not even married. So she hightails it to Elizabeth, her cousin's place, miles away, to get away from it all. And that's where Elizabeth encourages her. Listen, hasn't Elizabeth herself been the benefit of a miracle from God? She's carrying John the Baptist. God had approached her and Zechariah, her husband, and said that in your barren age, or in your age in which you are barren, you're going to conceive a son. His name will be John, and he will prepare the way for Jesus. She had a lot to sing about. Elizabeth was encouraging Mary, telling her about the promises that she has believed that God will fulfill. Let me ask you something this morning. Isn't that what we're supposed to do? To be an Elizabeth to somebody who's struggling? To speak the promises of God so that we might continue to sing a song of praise despite your circumstances. In the context here, Mary's circumstances are not that great. And Elizabeth reminds her of the promises of God. And instantly Mary begins a song of praise. Not based on her circumstances. Not based on where she's at. But based on who God is. Those of us who call Jesus Christ, those of us who call Jesus Lord, those of us who call Jesus Savior, we do not have a joy based on circumstances. We have a joy based on knowing Him. So as we look at this song of praise, I see three things I just want to highlight to you. Three things that would cause Mary to sing praises and should cause you to sing praises. Here's the first thing. It's found in verse 47. Let me read it again. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. The first reason Mary had much to sing joy about is this. Her Savior was going to be born. Her Savior was going to be born. Mary needed saving. To those who would elevate Mary to some perfect human, let Mary's own words be a testimony. Mary needed saving. And so do you. The word Savior there, it's from the Greek word soter. We get the word soteriology. It's the study of salvation through Jesus Christ. Now, Savior is not a popular word in the New Testament. It's used approximately 24 times. The word Lord is accompanied with Jesus over 242 times. Specifically, if you look at verse 46, where it says, and Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord. That word for Lord is used some 60 times. Oftentimes, Jesus and Lord are synonymous in the Bible. You see these things in like Romans 10:9. Because if you confess your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Absolutely, Jesus is Lord. Amen? Jesus is Lord whether you believe it or not. Did you know that? Whether you believe Jesus is Lord, he is still Lord. But what Mary is saying is this. For salvation to take place, you must trust him as Savior. Did you catch that? Mary was singing praises that she was going to be saved. Yes, Jesus is Lord. He does control everything. And by God's grace, if you have made him your, if you place your trust that Jesus is Lord and Savior, then he should be controlling your life. But listen, he must be Savior for you to be saved. The word Savior carries the meaning of deliverer. He is delivering you from something. What is he delivering you from? Naturally, people would say from our sins. Absolutely. But more specifically, he is delivering you from the wrath of God. Listen, God's wrath will be poured out on everyone who does not believe that Jesus is Lord. You must. Listen, the angels don't need a Savior. Humans need a Savior because we sin. And that sin separates us from a holy God. Mary is rejoicing that her Savior is being born. Any follower of Jesus Christ should be singing that song, should be rejoicing in that Jesus was born, that God took on flesh for you to remove the wrath for you. The reason a follower of Christ should have a song on their heart is because Christ saved you. Listen, Mary. Mary was singing a song of praise because her Savior, whom she didn't even know yet, was going to be born. And it is much for us to sing praises to as well. So why should you sing praises this morning? Not only because the Savior is born, but look at verse 48 with me. For he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on generations will call me blessed. Mary was singing a song of praise because her Savior was being born. And secondly, she was singing a song of praise because her Savior chose her. She was chosen. Look at Luke chapter 1, verse 30 with me. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Mary was rejoicing because God found favor with her. Do you see the humility when approached by a holy God? Look at Mary's approach here. "For he looked on my humble estate for his servant. For behold, from now on, generations will call me blessed." She wasn't worthy to be chosen. She wasn't worthy. And neither are we. You know why you can sing a song of praise? Not only was your Savior born, but you, follower of Christ, you that have called Christ Savior and Lord, you have been chosen. Are you worthy? Are you worthy? Meditate on a couple of these verses with me. John chapter 1. "But to all who receive him," is this you? "To all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." Here's how. "Who were born not of blood," it's not based on what kind of family you have, "nor of the will of flesh," it's not based on your good works, it's not based on the family you're born in, it's not based on your good works. How does someone receive the grace of God? By God. You are chosen. Follower of Jesus Christ, you have been chosen. Not because you are worthy, but because God's desire is to save you. Look at Ephesians chapter 1 with me. Again, the scriptures throughout, "even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love." Listen, how are you, follower of Christ, holy and blameless? Because of him. Because of your faith and trust in him. He chose you. How could we not wake up singing praises? Do you have a song of praise on your heart? Mary did. As she was reflecting on the promises of God that Elizabeth reminded her, I remind you. Your Savior was born. Your Savior chose you. And finally, in verse 49, "For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name." Listen, not only was Mary rejoicing that her Savior was born, not only was Mary rejoicing that she was chosen of God, but she was rejoicing that her Savior does the impossible. How do I know that? Listen, Mary sees herself as a tool of God. God doesn't need Mary, but he wants to use her. And this causes Mary to sing praises. He is going to cause the very impossible thing of a virgin carrying the Son of God and make it possible. Because he's mighty. That the word mighty there, it's where we get the word dynamite. It's the Greek word dunatos. It's taking the impossible and making it possible. That's what the word means. Listen, that's exactly what God does. And Mary experienced it. She didn't have to worry about the fingers being pointed. She didn't have to worry about what might happen to her. She was experiencing the truths of God's word. Her Savior can do the impossible. Do you believe that? If Jesus is Lord and Savior, He can make the impossible possible. And that's something to sing praise about. We saw it in marriages, didn't we? A couple weeks ago, Josh was able to stand up here and preach and did an excellent job preaching through the book of Hosea. But he also shared a very personal testimony. And I would encourage you to go to our website if you get a chance. A very personal testimony of God's amazing work in their lives. As they got a divorce and God restored that marriage. Listen, Josh Sanders knows that he can do the impossible. Do you sing praises at the impossible? When my brother's daughter died, and I've shared this many a times, but I can't think of a better example. When my brother's daughter died at 3 years of age because of the flu, my brother called me very angry at God. Why would God do such a thing? My brother didn't know Christ, and I thought for sure God just screwed it up. How is my brother ever going to believe in Jesus when he just had his daughter taken? Many of you know the story. My brother started doing a Bible study with some fellas that had lost their children. And through God's word, about a year later, my brother called me. On the phone, he's like, "Greg, I need to tell you something." I said, "What?" He said, "I know why Morgan died." I said, "What?" He goes, "If Morgan wouldn't have died, I would have never accepted Christ as my Savior." The Savior can do the impossible. What you think is impossible, God makes possible because of His great love. This drug dealing, fake ID making, lover of sin, was saved on November 2nd, 2001. I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ to save me, to deliver me from my sins and the wrath I deserve. Jesus did the impossible in my life. And He made it possible for this guy to see Jesus face to face someday. Has He done that in your life? Because if He has, He has taken the impossible and made it possible. He has taken dead men and women and made them alive in Christ. That, my friends, is something to sing praises about. That is something we can wake up singing praises about. Listen, high point, our Savior was born. Our Savior, if you know Him as Lord and Savior, has chosen you. And He has made the impossible possible. Can you see why Mary had a lot to sing about? Do you have something to sing about? God doesn't care what your voice sounds like. He cares what your heart is making music about. One last verse. Look at Psalm 40, verse 3 with me. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. My question for you, as you're here, has He put that new song in your heart? Are you rejoicing this morning that your Savior was born? Are you rejoicing this morning, singing praises that you were chosen? Are you singing praises at the possibilities that God does through tools like us? Some of you here do not have a song in your heart because you've never placed your trust in Jesus as Lord and Savior. What's stopping you? Your pride? Your lack of humility? Listen, God's desire is for you to repent, to turn from your sins and turn to Him so that He might put a new song in your mouth. Will you allow that to happen today as He is putting that pressure on you? Listen, Paul says, I might persuade men. I want to persuade you, but I know it's God's work in you that's going to save you. It's not my words. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the words of who? Christ. Savior and Lord, would you put your trust in Him today? Would you allow Him to put a new song in your heart so that you can sing with the rest of us that do know, that truly do believe that He is Lord and Savior, and we rejoice? I do love Christmas music. I love music in general. But I'm more grateful that God put a new song in my heart than any song that I've ever sang in my life. As we go to the communion table, during communion, followers of Jesus Christ, it is your opportunity to remember. To remember the song that He put in your hearts. To remember that Jesus lived a perfect, sinless life. He did take on flesh. Lived a perfect life. And died a substitutionary death for you. It is a chance for us to remember the song of praise. It is a chance to remember what God has done for us. So when you hold that bread, follower of Christ, you hold that bread, you remember His perfect life, and you put your life next to Jesus, and what happens? You realize you are not worthy. You realize what sin has done in your life. And you confess it. Maybe you have to get right with some people in here. I don't know. But maybe you just have to get right with God first. Your sin is that, therefore, against God alone, right? The consequence is it hurts people. Take some time as you hold that bread to confess sin. To confess it before a holy God. He is just. And He is holy. And He will forgive. Those that know Christ know that there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ. But when you confess your sins, it's like, thank you. Thank you. Sorry. Help me to change. And when you hold that juice, you realize that Jesus' sinless life was not sufficient to save you. He had to die for you. Listen, Jesus living a perfect life cannot save you. His blood on the cross saves you. Without the blood, there is no remission of sins. That's what Hebrews says. Hebrews chapter 9. Without the blood, there is no remission of sins. So listen, Jesus had to die. When you hold that cup, when you hold that juice, you remember and you rejoice in the fact that He did all the work. did all the work. What is your work but to believe? You remember what Christ did for you, and you sing a song of praise. Jake will start the music as soon as I'm done praying. But this is your opportunity, follower of Christ. This is a table for believers. And it's not meant, well, yes it is. It's meant to isolate those of you who have not yet trusted Christ. But here's what I'm asking you. Why don't you today? And receive communion for the first time. As someone who truly believes that Jesus is Lord and Savior. He'll play a couple songs. During those times, at any time, you go back and you grab those elements, you come back to your seat. You hold those things, the bread and the juice, and I'll come up and we'll commune together. This is a very personal time. But then we celebrate as a family, don't we? Those of us who have been chosen to be in the family of God. High Point, we have much to sing praises about. We have so much to sing praises about. Mary reminds us our Savior was born, our Savior chose us, and our Savior can make the impossible possible. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we can come here on a Sunday and freely sing praises. And Lord, we don't need a building. We don't need a venue to sing praises. Lord, my prayer is that when we wake up, we're singing praises. That our singing has nothing to do with our circumstances and everything to do with our relationship with you. Oh God, do that work in our hearts. Help us to confess the sin that is easily ensnaring us. And for some, Lord, I'm praying they might confess the sin of unbelief today. So that, Lord, they might sing a new song. Father God, thank you for your work. Jesus, thank you for coming to this earth. And Holy Spirit, thank you for teaching us more and more about Jesus. God, may you get all the glory, for it's in Jesus' name. Amen.